You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Eldrad.
I don't know what you're doing.
Are you also Eldrad?
What's an Eldrad?
I don't remember who Eldrad is.
Oh, man. I get it now.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I'm Eldrad.
Eldrad must live.
Today we're going to be talking about the second serial of the 14th season of Doctor Who, The Hand of Fear, which consists of four episodes that aired from October 2nd, 1976 to October 23rd, 1976.
True facts!
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. Before we dive into the episode today, since it's just us again and we never have anything to say, I want to do the mailbag again, but I only have two things this time.
Okie dokie. Do you have them actually prepared this time?
I have them actually prepared this time.
Nice.
Thank you. Both of them are what I'm going to call alternate titles. One of them wasn't a title. It was just a comment, but it also would make a good alternate title.
Okay.
This first one is from Glenn McCullough on YouTube. This was a comment on The Brain of Morbius, and I was so mad at how funny it was. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
I love that so much.
I'm just really mad at how good it is. If you don't know, that's from So Long and Thanks for All the Fish by Douglas Adams, who wrote for this show eventually. We haven't gotten there yet, but soon. The next one is from Steve Conway, who bought us the Seeds of Doom DVD and said, hey, since I'm sponsoring the episode, can I suggest an alternate title? And I was like, yeah. And then we had a lot of audio problems while recording the episode, and through the magic of editing, you don't know that. But I completely forgot to mention his alternate title. So here it is in this episode from Steve Conway, at Steve Conway on Twitter, for an alternate title for The Seeds of Doom. How much wood would a wood chipper chip if a wood chipper could chip wood instead of Time Lords? Instead of Time Lords is in parentheses. So that's the mailbag.
Nice segment.
I don't really know why we need this huge-ass bag for these...
two messages. It's a very small bag.
I just said it was large. You just contradicted my premise. Mine was way funnier. It's a giant bag with two tiny pieces of mail in it.
Bro, that's super impractical. So we should just have a smaller bag.
That's true, but for the purposes of the joke, it's very large.
Oh, it's a joke?
Yeah, we don't actually have a mail bag.
I don't understand why we're talking about this at all.
This is all fiction. Everything on this show is made up. We're not even married.
What?
We just did it as a joke for the podcast. Were you not aware of this?
No one told me.
I thought you were in on it.
I thought that shit was legally binding.
That wasn't supposed to get revealed until the finale. Forget I said anything. We're married. Nah. So, hey, what's going on?
Like, with me and my life?
Yeah. Anything cool happening?
I started listening to The Adventure Zone, and then I had to stop listening to The Adventure Zone to record our shittier podcast, and I'm mildly annoyed about it.
Hey, do you think we could get one of the McElroys on this podcast? Do you think they watch Doctor Who? I don't know. I don't really listen to any of their stuff.
I don't know. I've only listened to The Adventure Zone so far.
I've listened to an episode and a half of The Adventure Zone and seen 3,000 clips.
Yeah, it gets better.
On Tumblr.
I'm at like the end of the first arc, I'm like in the middle of the last episode, and that's why I'm like,
oh, I want to know what's going to happen.
Probably some like dungeons and some dragons.
Probably.
Dungeons and or dragons.
What's happening with you?
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
We've had a very busy couple of weeks. I feel like we might be getting a little behind on the podcast, but we've kept up so far. So, fingers crossed. To let you guys know, what day is. It's September 5th, which they just today released the date for the 13th Doctor, the first episode, which is sometime in October. I've already forgotten. 7th?
The 7th.
That's very, very soon.
Very soon. Is this going to be the first time where we're watching, like...
live?
Yeah.
No.
And doing the podcast at the same time?
No, I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
Or not Once Upon a Time, Twice Upon a Time.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called. The last one. The last one we watched live, because we went to the theaters and saw it.
But a whole season.
Yeah, this will be the first whole season.
So it'd be weird to do the podcast and be like, hey, we want to talk about what just happened.
Then whatever serial we happen to be on.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that's going to affect our reviews and stuff. Like, if we're going to be like, oh, that was an interesting parallel between these two separate forms of media. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Oh, should we start a separate New Who podcast?
Oh my god, I don't have time for that. Besides, we'll get to those eventually.
Good lord.
Why not?
In order?
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing this till I die.
Till death do us part.
Or is it?
Tune in next time to find out. You ready to talk about this episode?
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about The Hand of Fear. Episode 1, which I have called Take My Hand of Fear.
Ow. That was so loud. My ears are ringing.
Sorry. Take My Hand of Fear.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah.
We start with a spaceship in space and a very angry narrator and a lot of stuff happening in an ice station with people in parkas. And
yeah, this is another one where it opens and you're just like, what the fuck?
Honestly, we were like in episode 2 and I was still like, what the hell was that intro about? You don't find out what it really is until like episode 4.
That's true,
really.
You don't.
Yeah, so a lot of weird stuff happens. There's people, you can't see their faces. The things seem bad. They're in this like little golf ball base dome, half golf ball. There's something about an obliteration module. And it's supposed to obliterate at some point, and then, like, some voice is like, no, shit's too bad, do it now, obliterate it now.
And they do.
It does, and it gets obliterated. I'm assuming, knowing what I know about this serial now, they blow up Eldrad?
I remember watching this serial.
It happens very fast, and I didn't...
Before we have any context.
And we don't get context for a very long time.
But I think that's... yes. I think that is the case.
So that all happens.
You just have Sarah Strawberry written. Okay. Is that a reference to her outfit?
Well, yeah. Well, first, before we get there, a galaxy swirls. Then we are in an excavation site where they are setting up some bomb, and there's like very loud sirens.
Yeah, the Doctor and Sarah Jane like land here at this place where they're like very clearly about to do a detonation, and like the sirens are going off, and they're like, "What do you think that's about?" I don't know. Not super worried.
Yeah, Sarah's wearing the cutest goddamn outfit she's ever fucking wore.
They're like striped. Is it red and white or is it pink and white?
I think it's pink and white.
Pink and white striped
reddish
overalls. And they're the cutest flipping thing and I want them so bad.
Like, okay.
This is an outfit that I want really badly for myself.
I'm gonna call it iconic.
Okay.
She's so cute.
Is that a strawberry on the front of her overalls? There's something, but I could never quite see what it was.
I'm not sure either. There's like a little, it's like three little dots.
Maybe it was a flower. I don't know. There was some red, like, patch sewn onto the front of it.
Her character later refers to I forget who, like, someone's on the phone, like, calling someone, asking them to keep an eye out for her or whatever, and he's like, she's wearing red and white striped overalls, and then says, like, yeah, like so-and-so. I don't know, like some cartoon
Punky
character.
Punky Brewster?
No, it wasn't.
Could be Longstocking.
It wasn't either of those.
It was one of those
It
two.
Couldn't be Punky Brewster, because Punky Brewster came out in the 80s.
Okay.
Raggedy Ann or something. But I don't think it was Raggedy Ann. But it was like something like that. I don't think it was Pippi Longstocking, though. I'm wondering if it was, if that's what she was wearing, was whatever they were referencing. Who knows? Should have done some prep or something. I suppose I could look it up real quick. Yes, just like Andy Pandy.
Andy Pandy?
Yeah, I don't know what Andy Pandy is. Andy Pandy and his friends Luby Lou and Teddy have endless fun in their candy-colored world. I have never heard of this, but apparently it was a BBC show.
It's not even red, it's blue!
Yeah, but it's striped in the same way.
Oh, they're stars.
There's stars on the front of her. So anyway, that's what she looks like. She's got some cute ass overalls with stars on it. So this is not where she wanted to go. This is not South Croydon. Setting that up in episode one. Tony's already sad.
We didn't know. No one told us.
We had no guests on this episode, so I just figured the last Sarah Jane episode would have a guest on it. But I'm kind of glad it doesn't, because I don't know. It's nice to just have our reaction to it.
Yeah, it's good sometimes when we don't get a heads up, so that we just get to the end of the episode and be like, wait, what?
Yeah, it kind of sucks a little bit for me that, like, we're going to know when every last Doctor serial happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to be surprised once, but, like, I don't think that's going to happen, but the way that we have to plan these out. But companions are a different thing altogether, because I don't always know when they're going to leave. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay, because I have a lot of feelings.
Because we got three episodes of stuff that...
I have so many fucking feelings about it.
So let's talk about this. So they get out, there's loud sirens, and Sarah Jane's like, what was this all about? And the Doctor's like, hold on. Watch this. And, like, throws a, like, baseball or something at a rock just for fun. Like, it's the most important thing that's happening at the moment. And they're like...
There's a line about how he's saying that they're in a quarry.
She's like, what quarry? And he's like, I don't know everything about quarries.
Yes, you do. Don't Maybe lie. Not yet. But you're going to. I'm you're going sure... to be so familiar with quarries.
I'm pretty sure if there's a quarry, the Doctor's been in it. And they're like, maybe this guy up here knows. And they look up, they point up to this guy who's, like, violently waving his hands, like, get out! Go! And they're like, he seems nice. He's waving! And then he's, like, trying to tell, like, also warn the other people, like, don't set off the explosions, but he's too far away for either one of them to hear.
And it freaking explodes!
Yeah.
They explode, like, this, I guess it's, like, a wall of a cliff of the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, it just comes... tumbling down rocks and stuff, flies
over the camera too. There was a rumor, a myth that's been debunked that it actually destroyed a camera, but it didn't. It was properly covered and stuff. It's just people like trying to be like, ah, look how amazing, and I don't know, making up some story. But it does look really cool. The Doctor and Sarah Jane both get like are in it. They're not like to the side. They don't get out of the way. They both get covered by the rock slide. The Doctor seems okay. He's not been hit or anything. He just sort of like dusts himself off and stands up.
Sarah Jane is freaking buried. She's like under like several rocks and has to be like dug out, and it's scary.
I like though that when the guy that like waved at him runs down there to like see if they're okay, and like the first thing he does is like, hey, this is your fault. I had nothing to do with this. I have claimed no responsibility. Why are you guys morons? Also, are you okay? Like, that's the last thing he asks. But then they hear Sarah Jane screaming.
So she's underneath all these rocks, and you see this, like, craggy...
statue-looking hand.
Yeah. And she grabs a hold of it, because I guess she can't really see or anything.
I think she thinks it's the Doctor.
She thinks it's the Doctor. She grabs a hold of it. Does it grab her back?
No.
It's still, like, it's still inert at this point. But she, like, I think she grabs it and realizes that it's, like, cold and dead and screams, and that's how they find her.
Yeah, and they lift, but it also, like, knocks her out. They assume that the rock slide did it, but it's actually the hand that, like, put her into, like, a coma-esque state. Because they get her out, and, like, she's just holding this hand and won't let go, but she's unconscious. And then they take him to the hospital.
Man, this is such a good episode for her, too. Like, acting-wise.
She gets a lot of good moments.
She gets to do some things.
Right now, she gets to do something she's done before that she's really good at, which is be limp. But they get taken to the hospital. The Doctor also gets checked out. And there's
I kind of like how, like, people are fussing around with the Doctor, like, making sure he's okay. And he's like, I'm fine. How's Sarah?
There's this great bit, too, where, like, the Doctor's checking his arm. And he's like, ah! And he's like, does your arm hurt? And he goes like, oh, no, it's fine. And then, like, the Doctor's talking about something, and the Doctor replies knowingly, because he's like saying medical terms about, I don't remember what they're talking about, but he's like very specifically medical. And the guy's like, oh, so you're a doctor too? And he's like, yeah, of a sort. He like shakes his hand, and it's the same hand, and the Doctor makes this like grimace face real quick and then hides it, because he's not hurt, but he definitely is.
Yeah.
And it's also at this point he's like, well, where are you from? And he's like, Gallifrey. And he's like, I never heard of it. Must be from Ireland.
And the doctor's just like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably. Which, that joke is made in New Who, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's in Human Nature.
Ugh.
Right?
Yeah. I was just remembering what a good episode that was.
And then they go check on Sarah Jane, who's passed out. And the doctor leaves her to go check on the hand, which...
they did manage to pry away from her at this point.
Yeah. There's a guy studying it. I don't even remember his name, but he becomes semi-important. The scientist guy. Do you remember his name or what he did?
Nope.
Cool. But they find out that it's silicon-based, which is apparently weird.
Yeah.
But it's like it's alive.
It was like dormant and it is slowly absorbing energy. I don't know if they've realized this yet, but that's the deal, you guys.
Meanwhile, Sarah Jane is left alone in her hospital room and immediately opens her eyes and opens her hand, and she has a ring in it that glows blue, very poorly overlaid. Like, the ring's moving, but the... this shot it was.
Oh, was it?
Just this one shot. Like, there's a blue light that comes on, but, like, she's... Her hand's slightly wobbling, so, like, the ring's moving around, but the blue light stays in one spot. But, you know... It's probably evil. And she gets up and leaves the room. And the doctor has left to go check out the quarry to see if there's anything else there that might be interesting. And while he's out, Sarah Jane sneaks in and takes the hand, puts it in a little Tupperware container, and shoots the... Oh, it's a pathologist. That's what he was. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you going with that hand? And she points the ring at him.
Zaps him.
Yeah, blue light zaps him.
He's fine, just incapacitated, right?
Yeah. Well, oh, also when she shoots him, right before she shoots him, she goes, Eldrad must live, and shoots him. And that's weird.
She's never done that before.
No. And then she leaves with a hand. At the quarry, the doctor thinks that there was a spaceship crash here ages ago, which I guess is right. We saw it at the beginning of the serial, beginning of this episode. I don't know how he comes to this idea, but he figures that the hand is alien in origin. So the pathologist wakes up, calls people about Sarah Jane, hurry up, she's leaving here, and then is informed that she actually left like an hour ago. And then he also tells the doctor. The doctor figures out that Sarah Jane touched the hand, so she's now connected to the hand through some sort of mumbo jumbo
psychic nonsense.
Also, they have a small sample that she didn't take, because they, like, chipped it off. And it's like, that's when they realize that it's absorbing radiation and is possibly regenerating. Sarah Jane makes her way to this nuclear power plant, which was originally going to be the same place from Claws of Axos.
Really?
Yeah. The Newton place. But for whatever reason, they decided not to do it. And now it's like, Nunton. Like, there's one extra letter in it. And I'm like, why didn't you just keep it the same place? That'd have been... fine. It'd been neat, even.
Huh.
A little bit of continuity. But instead, you just... I don't know why that change was made. I feel like it would have been better if it was the previous place from Claws of Axos.
Too much alien weirdness happening in the one same spot. Place.
Yeah. But she, like, makes her way into the depths of the power plant. This takes 3,000 hours.
Oh my god, it really does. I think she
There's
goes...
There's some really nice shots in it, though.
I think she goes through the, like, 3 or 4 different, like, security levels
and, like,
of the
randomly
building.
Shoots a guard now and then.
Yeah, and
it cuts between that and between the doctor and the pathologist driving to the place and using their blinker and very slowly driving. And then they get to the gate, and then they get surrounded by guards. And it's just, like, it's just people traveling. But there are some really nice shots. There's some, like, nice handhold work on Sarah.
Oh, yeah, she's, like, walking, and she's, like, completely, like, dead-faced. And it's handheld and going at the same pace as her, right?
Yeah. It's very ominous and foreboding. Also, there's, like, this shot where...
They're shooting very low-angled.
Yeah, and the first shot that introduces her is, like, there's this truck that pulls up to the guard gate. The little arm goes up, the truck goes through, and the arm comes down, and, like... The camera zooms past the arm going down into this, like, big mirror thing. And you see Sarah Jane walking up to the gate in the mirror. I was like, that's pretty cool. This serial, honestly, is a little slow, but it has some really nice shots. There's also that shot where it's the doctor and the pathologist driving there. And, like, the camera is, like, in the floorboard shooting up. Like, as, like, you can see him driving and you can see the other one just being a passenger, but it looks really cool. But yeah, this goes on for far too long. But she gets to the very center. She doesn't get through the last door because it's like super locked. And then she gets to this last place, sits next to the door, holds her knees. It's very cute.
It is really cute.
She seems like a I don't know, very childlike almost.
Mm.
And like,
especially in those overalls.
Yeah, and also considering she's very like mindlessly sort of like, I don't know.
She's very blank the whole time she's doing all of this.
But she opens the box and the hand becomes the thing. Yeah, the thing from Adam's Family. What was his name? The Thing? Was it just The Thing?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's Thing.
Thing. Just
The Thing. Is a superhero.
Or an alien creature from a horror movie.
Sure.
And then Thing 1 and Thing 2 are some, like, nuisances that hang out with this very creepy cat.
What is up with that cat?
I don't know.
That cat should probably not have been around children.
So are we all on the same page regarding things?
Yes.
Those truly were some of the stranger things.
All right. Moving on.
And, yeah, that's the end of episode 1, as the hand becomes animate. Like, that went by really quickly. Not a whole lot happened. They crashed. Sarah Jane got possessed. She walked into a radiation thing.
Thanks for that recap of the recap we are currently doing.
It's a recap of a recap. And that's the end of episode 1, and we are now into episode 2, which I've called Give Him a Hand of Fear!
Is that gonna happen 2 more times?
Hell yeah!
Fuck.
Everyone is angry and loud, is my next note. It's true of the serial, and it's true of me and Tony.
It sure is.
Yeah, there's, like, confusion in the control room, and people are rushing back and forth, and they...
It is, like, so Sarah Jane's, like, infiltrated, I guess, is the word you would use, this nuclear facility. And so, like, now that's where we're starting, is, like, in the control room of this facility, and, like, alarms are blaring, and, like, staff's running all over, like, what the fuck is happening? How do we stop it? Oh, my God, are we all gonna explode?
Hope not. And the doctor and the pathologist use this to their advantage when, like, a big group of people come by. They just sort of get into the shuffle and get away. And then the pathologist is like, cool, now we can leave. And the doctor's like, no, that means we can go further without people following us. That's what they do. I think they actually go to the control room, which I think they were headed to anyway, so I don't know why they had to break away from the group. Like, where else are they going to take them to? Is there, like, a holding cell?
I'm sure they have security.
Yeah, I guess.
They have to.
I suppose so. But yeah, they go to the control room. They're watching on the monitors Sarah Jane in this room, who is talking to the hand, and it is... Don't... You can't make that a joke yet. It's one of my titles.
Oh, Joseph.
Oh, boy. Also, the pathologist is watching the screen, watching Sarah Jane. And the doctor and the... Like, also the control room guy very quickly gets on board with, like, hey, you guys are all right. Doesn't question them very long. He's like, who are you guys? And the doctor's like, I'm the doctor, and this guy's a pathologist. She escaped from the hospital. And he's like, okay.
I mean, I think he's kind of like, she's your responsibility, so, like, deal with it. Like,
well, kind of, but he also doesn't want him to do anything with her.
No.
But there's also this moment where, yeah, the doctor and the control room guy sort of step aside, and the camera zooms in on the pathologist, and then you just hear a voiceover saying, Eldrad must live. So I don't know how he got...
Well, he was the one taking the samples in the first place.
So is that how?
Yeah.
Okay, so He's slightly under control, but not as much.
Yes.
Kind of more secondhand.
I let that happen.
That's a good joke. I just thought of it just now.
It was okay. All right.
I'm really good at these jokes.
Oh my god. You are like
I've got my finger on the pulse is what I'm saying. Now Tony is giving me a different kind of finger. Not really. I'm just doing more hand jokes.
Can we talk about the episode?
You should come up with hand jokes, too. Why don't you come up with puns?
Not funny.
That's fair.
Thanks.
I mean, it is kind of difficult. It's like, it's a real no. job. It's a hand job.
First of all, that doesn't even fucking make sense. Like, get out of here with that one. Okay?
Okay.
That sucked. And I'm upset for you.
All right.
You should feel bad about it.
I don't.
I know. You don't experience shame.
I don't. All right, so apparently she's Sarah Jane is absorbing a lot of radiation, sucking up so much radiation.
Not Sarah Jane.
No, but they think she is because she should be.
She should be exposed to tons of radiation, but she's fine.
The doctor really wants to talk to Sarah Jane, but the control room guy won't let him. But eventually the doctor is like, sits down and talks through the thing anyway. Just like, I'm not really paying attention to any of you. He's trying to get through to her, but she won't listen because Eldrad must live, which she keeps saying. The doctor decides, well, I'm just going to go in there and talk to her in person and stop her. He heads out, and then that creepy voice tells the pathologist to follow him. They're on their way there, and the pathologist picks up a very large rubber wrench.
It does wobble when he picks it up.
Which I don't even understand because he doesn't actually use it.
He tries to. He tries to hit the doctor over the head with it.
He says, Eldrad must live. Swings his wrench. The doctor just backs up a little. Barely at all. And the guy just full on flings himself over the railing and falls like, I don't know, 5 stories to his death.
Bummer.
This is the start of a running thing of people falling very clumsily to their death. There was no real reason for him to fall off that thing. Like, he swung once. It wasn't even, like, that hard. He had to, like, fully, like, fling himself over the thing. It wasn't like he tripped. He swung a wrench. Also, while the doctor's going off to do this, the control room is, the whole place is basically evacuating, and the control room guy has this scene with his, like, second in command.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're basically trying to decide who's staying and who's going. I'll stay and die, you leave and live, sort of thing. Fun fact, that character didn't even have a name in the script. The second in control, like, I know her name now, was not a woman, was just a random nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But the director was like, I'm going to beef this role up and also cast my wife.
Nice. So,
which, honestly, these scenes don't really contribute a whole lot.
Oh, but they're really important because, like, the scene after this, he calls his family. And, like, you're right, it's not important at all, but it's one of the best scenes in the whole thing. He calls his family and he's like, no, everything's fine. I just...
Talking to his kid, too. Yeah,
yeah, he's like, I just wanted to see how... call you guys because I miss you. I wanted to see how things...
He's also like, I'm going to be a little late. Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk to you and the kids.
Basically, he gets the scene of, oh, this character's gonna die, but this character doesn't die.
But, like, he doesn't know that at this point in time. He thinks he's going to die. Like, in his head, he is absolutely, like, not coming back. So he calls his family to talk to them one last time, but, like, doesn't want to worry them. And so he's just like, it's all fine. I just want to make sure you guys know I love you, which is, like, the worst. Oh, my God. It was a really good scene.
It was a good scene. And, I mean, kudos, because I thought it was going to go one way and it didn't, so that's a little surprising. Because I was like, dead meat, but he's not. So, spoilers, this guy doesn't die. He almost dies 15 times.
Oh, sure.
But, meanwhile, Sarah Jane is trying to get this last door open, which has a really cool rainbow pinwheel on it. It's not working, so she gets up and she's about to shoot her ring at it.
The door is loading.
The door is buffering.
The door has frozen up and needs to be force quit.
But she's about to shoot it with her ring, her blue ring of death. And just as she's about to, the doctor, like, this is another really nice shot. Like, she gets up, stands back, and is about to do it. At the same time, the doctor just, like, falls out of, like, a vent behind her. And then she turns the ring on him, and he's like, eh, Eldrad must live. Calm down.
I'm down with Eldrad.
I'm all about that, Eldrad. And then he, like, gets close to her and grabs her neck, and she goes unconscious.
He apologizes for it, too.
He does.
It's very sweet.
This is a really good serial for them, too, specifically.
I think her acting, like, under mind control is really great. When she's, like, doing that whole Eldrad must live, it's like this very sort of deep, booming voice that she doesn't normally do, and it's nice. It's great.
Yeah, and also she's got that, like, slightly evil smirk going on.
Yeah, she's very convincing.
They get out of there, but they leave the ring. They unknowingly leave the ring behind. They take her to decontamination. Sarah Jane comes to. She can't remember anything. She remembers, like, I remember being buried under a pile of rocks, and then I grabbed what I thought was your hand, and then it was cold, and then now I'm here.
Yeah, no radiation poisoning whatsoever.
Yeah, because, like, the control room guy busts in and is like, get away from her, and then, like, the doctor scans her with, like...
Which means the, like, hand has absorbed an insane amount of radiation.
So they send in a guy in, like, a hazmat suit to put the hand put the hand back in the box, and he does, which I don't know why. I thought it was hilarious that he gets, like, one of those hand grabber things to pick up a hand with. There's too many fake hands going on. There's an extended hand picking up another hand. I don't know why I like that so much. But he puts it in the box, but then he picks up the ring, and it glows, and uh-oh.
Uh-oh. And Eldred must live.
And they study the hand some and realize it was missing a finger when it was just a rock. And it's actually grown the finger back. And they're like, it's regenerating. It's fixing itself. Sarah Jane is on my wavelength and says, it's not as armless as it looks.
She does that. It's cute when she does it.
Okay, but it's a hand. And it still doesn't have an arm. So her joke is wrong.
It's not as much of a stretch as hand job.
Yeah, well, this show had time to prepare their jokes and write them.
You could have.
Yeah, but I didn't. Freestyle this. The guy who brought the hand in is like, they're like, there should have been a ring. And he's like, I didn't see a ring. I'll go back and look for a ring. I didn't see a ring. Nope. And he goes to look back. Goes for
it. Don't know nothing about no ring.
I don't even know why he even like took the hand to him in the first place. Why didn't he just keep the hand and just go right in? He was there. Did it take a little while for the ring to take over him?
Wait, what are you asking?
The guy goes into the room, puts the hand in the box, picks up the ring, gets brain control, but he takes the hand to the doctor. And goes back to look for the ring, which isn't there. And then later he's going to go and get the hand back.
The hand. I don't know. Maybe he was trying not to be suspicious. Maybe he wasn't mind controlled enough. I don't know.
So the doctor hypnotizes Sarah Jane. She's not happy about this.
She's like, don't do it.
No, that's not fair. And she talks about Eldred, and she sort of is like panicky a little bit, like and saying stuff like Eldred must live. And like she's almost still under possession a little bit. But the doctor basically tells her, you're free of Eldred.
Like, Eldred,
don't worry about him. He's gone.
He's fine.
He basically gets rid of that mind control. Gets it out of her and touches her head and she goes back to normal. And then it's really funny. They head into the control room and she just goes, Eldred must live. And the doctor's like, what? She's like, just testing. So cute. They figure out that the guy is lying about the ring. The guy has also, like, knocked out another guy, taking the hand, and he's heading back, and we get to see him walk through
all three security levels.
Door. The doctor's following him. He shoots at him with the blue light. Like, this is the exact same thing that happened with Sarah Jane, just with some character we don't care about. But he makes it. He goes through the rainbow door. The control room has to order another evacuation, and stuff starts exploding. The doctor and Sarah Jane duck and cover, and the control room explodes and knocks down the control room guy, and that's as the guy walks through the door, and that's the cliffhanger.
They must have gotten, like, some explosion money. Because it used to be like, that was like, well, it's the end of the serial, let's explode the bad guys, and then you would, like, explode a model. And yeah. Now it seems like they're just using them for, like, run-of-the-mill cliffhangers?
To be fair, it's not, like, huge explosions. It's not, like, the whole building. It's just, like, a couple of monitors and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not huge. It's just some sparks and then some smoke.
They exploded a whole quarry, I imagine, that, like...
Yeah, that was probably...
Something that they were doing, and they were like, can we film this?
I know we generally say final thoughts for final thoughts, but I want to just give my final thoughts on this specific episode.
Okay.
Which is just that you could probably cut most of this episode out. Like, it's just a repeat.
It is, I guess.
With a character you care less about. Nothing really happens. Here's the recap of the recap. Sarah Jane gets stopped by the doctor, unpossessed. Another guy gets possessed, walks through the door.
That's it. That's the episode.
That's the recap of the recap. So that's the end of episode 2. We're now to episode 3, which I have called Talk to the Hand. A fear!
Do you gotta get all up in my face?
Yeah.
When you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Why?
Because it's more effective that way. Gotta hand it to me. Okay. I know what I'm doing.
I do not have to do that. I do not.
Sarah Jane's like, are we dead? Doctor's like, no. You sure? Yes. Then the doctor explains that an unexplosion has happened.
Like, an explosion happened, but all of the energy got absorbed. Which seems pretty bad. But it leads to one of the best costumes ever.
He explains this unexplosion. Well, the control room guy comes in, glad not to be dead. Him and Sarah Jane explain the unexplosion to him. And the doctor illustrates it with his hand. He's like, it's less of an exploding outwards, more of exploding inwards. And the way
He does his hands backwards. He smushes them together when he says outwards and pulls them apart when he says inwards.
It was very frustrating.
Not worth reshooting for, though.
Apparently not. Like, if I had been, like, acting during that scene, that would have thrown me off.
You would have just been out of the scene completely?
Yeah. I'd have been like, hold on. You did that backwards. Please fix that.
You're gonna have to do it again.
But yeah, he says that basically the hand is regenerating. He locks it in. He shuts the rainbow door, locks it up. He's like, but that's probably not gonna work. The control room guy has basically ordered a missile strike on the site. He's like, we all need to get out. And the doctor's like, but I want to talk to it. I think it's just afraid.
Interesting theory, doctor.
He's wrong, but...
Guys, he ends up being so wrong this serial.
But everyone's like, there's a missile strike, we're not calling it off, and they leave, and the doctor's just standing there looking at the door as it's melting, and he's like, but it's interesting. Oh, everybody's left. I should go. They get out a distance away. They all duck behind this, like, truck. The doctor's in the back of the truck. And everybody jumps out and ducks behind the truck. And the doctor just stays in the truck. And they're like, get down, get down. And he just looks at them and smiles and looks up at the planes like a giant goob. I love him. He's such an idiot.
The missiles, of course, don't work. Because this is Doctor Who. And that almost never works.
You see the missile go off and then nothing. Yes. There's not even like a noise or anything. It's just like, for a second there, I was like, did I miss the missile? It was a little confusing that there wasn't even like a sound effect or anything.
Oh, well, it just stopped him though.
Also, there's another adorable moment right before the missile gets shot off that the control room guy tells Sarah Jane to like open her mouth and hold her nose because it'll hurt your eardrums or something. And so she does like a goofy face. And the doctor does too. And she like gets back up once the missile's gone and she's like, was I supposed to do something? And the doctor's like, yes. but yeah, it's basically absorbed the missile.
It's only made it stronger.
Oh, I forgot to mention in the last episode, because it's about to happen again, when the doctor goes to follow the new guy who's possessed, he tells the control room guy and Sarah Jane, don't follow me. You go get to safety and I'm going to go check it out. And Sarah Jane follows him.
Immediately.
And that's about to happen. Again, because they're like, what do we do? And the doctor's like, let's talk to the hand. That's like the only plan he has. Let's talk to it. And so they head back. Oh, this is when we get to see her for the first time.
Oh my gosh. It
Eldrad.
Great. Like, so great. Like, so good. Like, I know you're going to have to help me out and give a description so I don't just keep saying the word good over and over again.
Okay, well, if you're going to say good, I'm probably going to be a little grosser. And she's hot as hell.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. You are not incorrect. She's basically like this freaking...
rock monster.
Rock lady.
Blue.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a bluish gray.
It's like if somebody wore like a bluish gray leotard, covered, like bedazzled in rocks.
Yeah, she's got like these tiny, shiny rocks like going up from like her chest to her shoulders.
Yeah, and it's not like lumpy like the thing, speaking second thing mention in this podcast. It's not like big and lumpy, it's just like...
she looks like a sexy disco ball.
And her head like goes to a point.
Yeah, she's got like a big, what is that called? Like a big crystal kind of formation coming out of the back of her head.
She reminded me a bit of Pearl from Steven Universe. Like body type wise and also her head goes to kind of a point.
I see, yeah, that. It's absolutely great, 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 great design.
Her head is kind of the shape of a like hair dryer.
This design is like probably the highlight of the serial.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, next to something that happens at the end. But yes.
I mean, yeah. It's also like the episode that Sarah Jane leaves and there's a lot of stuff going on there. But like, this design is so great.
Yeah, it's a really, really good design. And also like, the actress is very, very good. She's very
She's paranoid, very but like stern. And it's not something that like you've particularly seen, like out of a monster, that she has this very like sternness, but you're not, pretty much the whole time you're never quite sure. Mm-hmm. How much of a bad guy she is.
How much of it is justified? How much of it is her just freaking out a little bit because people just shot missiles at her?
Right. I mean, is she just like afraid because she's just been attacked? You know, there's like most of this episode and the next episode is like just trying to get a handle on what her motivation might be.
It's honestly this episode, once she shows up, that the serial really picks up for me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Honestly, I've actually heard the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah, that it actually, people say it starts off really strong and then gets sloppier as it goes, which it does get a little sloppy in the fourth episode, but, like, I actually think it's more interesting as it goes.
I mean, like, this character, and this design, but this character, too, is so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I do think, like, she gets less interesting in the fourth episode because of reasons.
And less hot.
She's a little bit less hot. But yeah, I would have a hard time saying that, like, I think episode 3 is, like, the strongest episode in the serial.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All we've seen right now is her walk out of the door in our recap. But yeah, I am down for her. I like her a lot. She's great. So the doctor and Sarah Jane show up. They're at the gate. The doctor's like, I'm going in alone. You guys stay. And then he heads in. The Sarah Jane is about to go, and the control room guy stops her and goes, you better listen to him this time. And then she's basically like, yeah, no. And then rushes up to catch up to the doctor.
She's like, you don't understand how this works.
She walks up to the doctor, and he stops. She looks at him and goes, I worry about you. And then he, like, they start doing a walk and talk. And he's like, they're discussing it a little bit. And then she's like, explaining why she should go with him and stuff. And he's like, okay, yes.
But
that's all fair.
Consider this.
I worry about you too.
Oh my God.
And then she's like, then we'll be careful.
Then
yeah,
we'll just
be careful.
Have to look after each other then, huh? And the doctor agrees to that. And that's the sweetest, bestest thing. I love them so much, and I'm going to miss her.
Like, it's one of the best scenes just of them two. It's that, just that small walk and talk.
Yeah, that scene
The camera work is amazing, too. It's a very Aaron Sorkin West Wing shot, but it's so good.
They just want to protect each other.
So yeah, then they talk to Eldrad. The doctor tries to explain that they don't want to hurt her. He crosses his hearts, both of them. She like does her eye. She looks down, looks up, and her eyes are glowing bright blue. Then there's this really weird effect on the doctor. It's basically just two different still frames of him slightly different positions, and they flicker back and forth between the two, and there's like a blue light. It's similar to what they did in the Three Doctors when they would do their link up thing. I don't know, it's very unsettling. And then she's like, yeah, you're telling the truth. He's like, hey, don't do that. And then they're talking some more. She's still not trusting them, and she does it again, and he's like, hey, like, he actually passes out after that one. He's like, you don't need to do that. I will tell you the truth.
And Sarah Jane...
she doesn't trust anyone.
Sarah Jane is, like, equally not trusting of her. Where the doctor's like, we need to talk to her. We need to, like, figure out what her deal is. She's probably just afraid. And Sarah Jane's like, okay, sure. Or she's just trying to kill everybody. Like, Sarah Jane is a lot less trusting at this moment, especially after making the doctor pass out.
So, but she basically gives her pitch, Eldrad does, which is that she needs the doctor's help. She was this big deal on her planet, Castria.
She also has this, we've talked about her design, but she has this amazing voice, too. Kind of, like, deep and, I don't know.
Royal.
Yeah.
Well enunciated and clear and powerful.
Yes.
But yeah, she was this big deal on her planet, Castria. She was apparently like this big hero. She set up these wind barriers or whatever that protected them from some sort of storm situation. But then like this war happened, destroyed all of that, and things went bad. And her people...
Well, it seems like her and her people are mostly energy that kind of created silicone-based bodies.
And apparently her people like destroyed her or something. And, like, it's very unclear why they did that when she says this. Basically, there's a war going on, is what she says. And, like, she's basically like, I know you're a Time Lord, because she did the, like, blue-eyed thing. She's like, I want you to take me back in time so I can fix all this. And the doctor's like, I will take you back to Castria,
because
I can't take you back in time.
She's been on Earth for how long? Like,
ever.
Yeah, for like
eons and eons.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'll take you back, but I won't take you back in time. And to your point about Sarah Jane not trusting her, the control room guy, whose name is Watson, according to my notes. I don't know how I didn't remember that. His name's Watson. Watson is in the background with a gun. And Sarah Jane sees him, but Eldrad senses him. And then he sort of backs off. And then she's like, I sent someone else here. And Sarah Jane's like, we're the only ones here.
Yeah.
Straight up lies to help Watson. Then she's about to do the blue eye thing to Sarah Jane, but the doctor sort of steps in front of her and is like, hey, don't do that or I won't, if you do that, I won't help you. So there's
can't
like,
hurt his best friend.
Let's all go to the TARDIS, and they're heading out, and Watson pops out and shoots Eldrad like 7 times. Unloads his whole gun into
but
her.
But she's made of rocks, so...
Doesn't do anything. So she shoots back, and like, he runs. She shoots him with the blue light, and then he runs to the control room, she chases him, and then she does this weird, really cool effect to him, like... He glows blue. It's like weird flashing. And it's not just like the blue light like they've been doing. It's like outlined and like jittery around him. And it's like very like flashy and I don't know. It's very disturbing and I liked it a lot. But he passes out and she's still shooting him. And then like the doctor has like, hey, stop or I'm not going to help you. Stop. Do not kill him.
Like he's not a threat to you anymore.
And also he's largely responsible for you coming to life. But she's like, all right, I won't kill him. But he'll be fine. But let's go. They leave, and then we get a very long scene. The second-in-command control woman comes back in, and he's just like, I emptied my gun. And I don't know, he just talks for forever, like just wrapping up his plot line. But I'm just like, I don't really care. I want to get back to Eldrad. I don't care
there's
that no one... He's like, no one will...
sexy rock monster, and I gotta figure out more about that.
He's like, no one will believe us. And it just goes on for like 2 minutes too much.
Yeah, because he does kind of have to explain, like...
Like the doctor and Sarah Jane and her went past her.
Yeah.
And she didn't see Eldrad at all. Like, there's some mental block, I guess.
He's got to explain why, like, he ordered a missile launch and the missiles are just gone. And, like, also everything seems fine now. Like, he's like, I don't know how to fill this paperwork out.
Which is a fine enough scene, but also, like, get on with the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get to the TARDIS. Eldrad is appropriately impressed. She's like, I've heard about the Time Lords, you know.
It's bigger on the inside.
Stuff, and it's great. She's like, where are your armaments? And the doctor's like, in here. Taps his nod.
That's a good line. I like that bit of dialogue.
In response to that, she does the blue eye thing again, but it doesn't work because...
She's in the TARDIS.
And he says that... When they're in the TARDIS, they're
in a state of temporal grace.
Which means they technically don't exist. That's what he says.
Is that what he says?
He says they technically don't exist.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure either.
All right.
But he's continuing to help her. And Sarah Jane's basically like, why are you helping her? And he's like, I don't want her destroying Earth stuff. I'm going to keep an eye on her.
Yeah, we'll take her back to her home planet, and then, you know, she won't be killing humans, which are my favorite.
Also, he really wants to see Castria. They land on Castria, and the radiation is a bit high, but that's just how she likes it. And she thinks that there might be survivors, even though it's been, like, eons, and they're going to go check it out. They get to the base. She starts it back up, turns all the lights on and stuff, because there's, like, core energy there. Because they're all like, whoa, it's been eons. The battery should be out. But she's like, no, we're cool. We got, like, special alien stuff.
We power all this stuff through the core of the planet. So the power is running as long as the planet's there.
And so they're like, we're going to go deeper into the planet, basically, and see if there's people. There's going to be some temperature difference, but, like, Sarah Jane's been wearing the doctor's coat. And then, like, he taps her on the shoulder, and, like, she takes her coat off and swirls it around onto him. And he puts the coat on, and I just thought that was also really adorable. But they're doing this as Eldrad calls up the elevator. The elevator door opens, and she turns around with a giant spear in her chest. It's like... injecting her with liquid. That's the cliffhanger. See you in episode 3. Recap of that. They try to blow it up. Turned into a woman. They went to Castria. Recap of a recap.
Thank you. Is this a new thing?
It might be. That is a thing about this serial, is that it's not bad, but not a lot happens. Anyway, we're now into episode 4, which I've called The Hands of Fate.
Don't.
Okay. A fear!
God damn it. Why?
Alternatively, I was thinking of calling this the King of Nothing.
That makes sense.
So Eldrad pulls out the spear, says that she has been filled with acid that does not have an antidote. She's dead within a certain amount of time.
Unless they can get her to the regeneration room.
So they get in the elevator. This cool computer screen warns a guard of their arrival. It's just some, like, flashing patterns that I find really nice to look at. I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it. This guy's dead. It's very similar to the thing that happened in, I think it was Death to the Daleks. Remember there was that whole thing where there's the guard sitting there, and then it turns out he's just dust?
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
There's a difference, because there's, like, video that plays where it's, like, you see video of the guy. And he's
talking,
like,
to him and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, did you think it would be that easy? We hate you. So, it's not gonna be easy at all.
So, yeah, there's a little bit more of a fake out.
Yeah.
A little bit more to it. But it is basically the same plot point.
Yeah.
But before, they're going through this really cool cave. Like, this set's really cool and stuff to just be,
like,
used in, like, one episode.
Lights.
Basically, just a really cool-looking cave.
Yeah.
Space cave. The first thing that happens once they walk in there is Sarah Jane gets hit by this gas. And then goes, and then falls to the ground. And then, like, Eldrad's like, that wouldn't work on her.
It only works on silicone-based life forms. And so the doctor's like, Sarah Jane, get up. You're embarrassing yourself. She's like, what? Like, it doesn't work on you.
Stop being dramatic for 5 seconds. They basically just keep walking and bumping into booby traps. Some rocks fall on them. A rock person falls on Sarah Jane. Eldrad falls on top of her.
Oh, yeah.
She's stuck underneath Eldrad. It's really funny.
Apparently she's very heavy.
Yeah. At some point, the doctor basically says that there are people here. They've been dead for years and turned into rocks, and we're all walking across them. And Sarah Jane's like, ew.
Gross.
Sarah Jane questions, because there was supposed to be this war with an outside party.
Yes.
Why all these traps are set up specifically for silicon-based life forms. Because that would be their own people. That'd be weird. And then she almost falls down a chasm. So they have to cross this log thing, which the doctor just straight up picks Eldrad up, and she's like stiff as a board.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how she does that.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
I think that's some straight up core strength is what that is.
Yeah. Like, as good as Sarah is at being limp, she's really good at being the exact opposite. He carries her across over his shoulders, and then Sarah Jane...
She looks like a rock.
It looks like he's carrying a mannequin. She's so stiff.
Yeah.
But Sarah Jane crawls across the log instead of walking. It's a giant log. It takes way too long.
Are you not sympathetic?
No.
As someone who is afraid of heights?
I mean, a little bit, but also it's not that far across. I would just run across that log. Get it out of the way quickly.
You'd rather get it over with as quickly as possible.
Also, you think I'm going to crawl and get closer to falling? Like, visually closer to falling? No.
Visually closer to falling.
I feel like crawling is actually way more unstable than walking. Maybe that's just me.
I don't think so.
Feels like it would be. It'd be bad for your knees.
I mean, that's true. Okay.
There's another booby trap door that they almost walk through, but the doctor stops them and waves that scanner stick he got that, like, scans Sarah Jane for radiation. He uses that to, like, wave it in front of the door, and it gets blown up. But they finally get inside, and they put her on this slab. The ring has her genetic code in it, so they gotta plug it in. The doctor's working on it. Yeah, and then, like, a giant cement block crushes her. And I was like, what the fuck?
And Sarah Jane is distraught. Like, keep in mind that Sarah Jane has been, like, very suspicious of her this whole time. But she was like, oh, but I didn't want to squish her. Like,
she's like, oh no, we were trying to help this person, and we just killed her. And she's also like, also, I'm very confused. What do we do now? But then they hear somebody else coming, and so they duck and cover. They duck and hide. Oh, also, when the cement slab raises up, by the way, showing that she's smushed, it's just like an imprint of her body. It's just like,
well, there's also like rocks and dust. Yeah,
it's just like very cartoonishly just Eldrad shaped hole. But yeah, the door, somebody's coming, so they run and duck and hide, and this very large rock man comes in. It's like, where's everybody at? The party just showed up. Oh, by the way, I'm bro Eldrad.
And he kind of explains that, like, when he first reformed, he based himself on the first life form that he met, which was Sarah Jane. So he made himself female. But, like, it's not as good of a costume now.
It's way more, like, chunky. I would have been fine with him turning into a dude and stuff. I just don't like the design as much. I wish it had been, like, that same sort of slim-looking thing.
Yeah.
Instead of making him, like, bulky. I don't know. But, hey, this is paving the way for the 13th Doctor.
This right here.
This is the first.
It was mildly disappointing, though. I was like, we have this design that I love so much and this actress that I love so much. And I was like, this is less good. Yeah. Okay. I'm with it, though, I guess.
Also, he now seems way more aggressive a little bit. I mean, she was kind of aggressive, but like in a slightly more collected way. She's more like, but he's more like, fuck everybody. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't know. She was like cool and I mean, panicky a little, like panicky, but not like over the top, just like trying to keep control of things.
Yeah.
Whereas he seems more like angry and exploding. I don't know. Seems a little slightly more aggressive and Dubrow-ish.
Okay.
Maybe that's just me.
That might be some things that you need to unpack there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, she was very keeping it very, like, maybe she is good.
Yeah.
And at this point, just all things are off the table.
He's let that facade drop.
Because they get a call from that screen comes on. There's that other rock guy. And he's like, you ain't shit, Eldrad. We hate you. It's the king. And he's like, he was the one who ordered Eldrad to be destroyed. And Eldrad's like, because I destroyed the barriers. The barriers that earlier they said they had set up. But basically, the war was happening. Eldrad wanted to fight. The king did not. Eldrad sort of took
Eldrad
things.
Wanted to, like, become an empire. I was going to say global empire, but that's too small.
Universal empire?
Yeah.
Yeah, wanted to conquer and fight and kill and stuff. And yeah, this king, his name is Rokan. And he's basically like mad. And then we find out that Eldrad basically was not a great guy. And so Eldrad's going to go confront him. That's when he pushes him over and he turns to dust. Rokan does. The king was just recording. And so Eldrad is like, well, I'm the king now. Ha ha ha. I'm going to go to the banks and regenerate me some Castrians and have some people underneath me.
Yeah, because apparently all of the people of this planet are, like, stored on things similar to
the ring. Then the recording comes back on and the king's like, oh, by the way, we hated you so much that we chose Oblivion. There are no banks. There's nothing left. There's zero left.
We literally destroyed every fucking thing.
Because we were worried you would come back and try to take over.
Rather than have to be in the same room as you.
And then he says, and you've come back, which just proves that it's true. So, hail Eldrad, king of nothing. I'm like, damn. How bad do you have to be to piss off an entire race of people so much that they just choose Oblivion rather than the possibility of potentially having to deal with you later?
Like, dealing with your shit. Like, they fucked off so hard. They fucked off the hardest you could fuck off.
It's like all or nothing. So Eldrad's like, nah, well, I'll just go rule Earth then. And the doctor's like, no, I've got your ring. You probably want this. If I destroy this, then what are you gonna do? And he's like, give it to me. And he, like, tosses it down he tosses it into another room. And he goes to chase it, and Sarah Jane and the doctor run. And then they take the doctor's scarf, stretch it across the cat, like, in front of the chasm. And he's, like, rushing out. And again, falling into a pit. Falling and dying. He falls into the chasm. But, like, he, like, basically hits the scarf and slowly steps over it, and then it cuts to a shot of him falling. You don't even see him fall into the chasm. He just, like, sort of steps over the scarf.
There are just limitations that you're just gonna have to accept, okay?
Okay.
And safely falling is one of them.
But the doctor's like, that wasn't even the real ring I tossed. It was a fake. Because that's why he came chasing after us, is because that wasn't the real ring. This is the real ring. And he tosses it into the chasm. Like, fuck off, ring. That's that taken care of. They leave.
I'm so upset.
And Sarah Jane is much like us. She kind of liked Lady Eldrad, but not Dude Eldrad. That's fair. And
then at this point, pretending to be nice.
At this point, I'm like, this episode is still going. Why are we still going? Oh, God. Oh, God. No, I'm not ready.
Mm-mm.
But Sarah Jane starts complaining about, like, I'm cold, I'm wet, keep getting hypnotized left, right, and center. People be doing this to me, doing that to me. I'm just gonna pack up my goodies and go home.
She's mad.
And she's doing all this while the doctor is completely ignoring her and working on the TARDIS.
I was gonna say, I don't think... She was, like, regular complaining, and then, the doctor wasn't paying attention. So she goes from, like, playing around complaining to, like, legitimately mad. after, like, not getting the doctor's attention at all.
Because he's not replying to her at all except to be like, hand me this space wrench.
Which she knows, by the way. He's using very, like, technical, you know, it's like technical future things. And she's just like, yeah, you mean, like, this thing. Which just shows you, like, how long that they've been traveling together and stuff. How much she knows now.
And then she's like, are you listening to me? I am leaving. And then she storms off.
She gets all of her bags, packs up.
While she's in the other room getting her stuff, the doctor gets up and some blue lights attack his face. And he's like, oh no, Gallifrey, can't take Sarah.
Can't take Sarah Jane. Because he knows what happens, Joseph. He knows what happens if he has companions when he goes back to Gallifrey.
They get mind wiped?
They get mind wiped and they don't even get to remember. And they get sent back.
Sarah Jane comes out with all her stuff. He's like, oh, how did you know? She's like, what? It's like, you can't, you have to leave. You can't come with me.
Which at this point she was like, what? I was just kidding. I was just being dramatic. Like, you know I would never ever leave. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, you really actually have to.
And then she was like, okay, I'll go. She's like, don't forget about me. He's like, oh, Sarah, don't you forget about me.
Which is the saddest fucking thing.
Also, it's so, like, it parallels that I'm worried about you scene so nicely. Yeah.
No, but, like, he has to drop her off before going to Gallifrey, or she's going to get mind wiped, and he knows that. Like, he knows he has to, like, let go of her in order for her to be able to, like, remember him. That's awful. And, like it just makes me think about Zoe and Jamie and, like, how awful that was when, like, he had to go back to Gallifrey that time. That sucked! And now he has to go back again, and it's probably gonna suck, too. And fucking Sarah Jane is his best friend, Joseph. I don't think he's ever even had, like, a good friend before.
I mean, Jamie.
Okay, no, you're right. I'm saying, he has never said the words best friend before.
Mm.
And I really think this is, like, besides Jamie, I think this is one of, like, the first times he's thought of his companions as, like, a friend as opposed to, like, a companion. Like,
mm-hmm.
a traveling buddy. Not to, like...
diminish.
Yeah, not to, like, disrespect other companions. I think it's the first time he's realized that, like, they were his... Do you know what I mean? I think it's the first time he's, like, conceptualized that relationship in that way.
I say it's also one of the first ones that doesn't feel like father figure, almost, or grandfather.
Yes.
It's the first one that feels, like, truly, like, on the same level. I mean, maybe Liz Shaw a little bit was sort of an equal, but even then it still felt like the doctor was a little bit, like, you're beneath me a little bit.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Not so much. Not as much as, like, Joe, but this is the first one that feels like a true, like, just, they're buds.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I think Jamie and you are, like, platonic soulmates, but, like, yeah. I'm just not I don't know. This one's just different.
But, he says travel does really broaden the mind, and gets out.
Does not drop her off in the right place.
It's supposed to be South Croydon, and is not. And,
I actually was kind of waiting for that. There's
the third time they mentioned South Croydon, too. Like, because it was at the beginning, it was mentioned again, and he's like, to rally her when she was, like, feeling low in one episode.
I was actually waiting for that, because there's a line about it in,
New Who? In
School Reunion, yeah. So I was like, oh, he's not gonna drop her off at the right place.
But she laughs it off. She's like, he blew it. Oh, and then, like, talks to a dog. Like, he blew it! Do you hear me? He blew it!
Like, that asshole. I'm gonna miss him.
Dog leaves like, who's this strange lady talking to me? But then she whistles, which is not actually her whistling. Elizabeth Sladen can't whistle, so it's the director doing it off camera. And then it freeze frames and that's the end.
As, like, devastated as I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little excited because I have a feeling like we're about to get some weird-ass Time Lord shit.
Yeah.
Which seems promising.
I feel like, from this point on, I have very little idea of what's coming. I don't really know who the next... I think I know who the next companion is. I'm not 100% certain.
Is it K-9?
I mean, K-9, I think, and Leela, I want to say? Maybe? I'm not sure. I know... I mean, I knew about Sarah Jane because of New Who.
I know
about Joe Grant
Romana
because of...
is the fourth Doctor companion, but I think she's on the later end, maybe.
At no point was K-9 and Sarah Jane in the same episode.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the end of the Hand of Fear. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Okay.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always. But you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to ESOpodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is? It's time for final thoughts.
Oh.
Whoa.
What? Oh,
a fear.
What? Whoa.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That was unprecedented.
Yep. And I am not giving you an opportunity to do your bullshit.
That's like literally the only thing I get to do.
Not today.
It's time for final thoughts.
It's the same bit. You do the exact same thing every time.
I'm reliable.
Final thoughts.
This is one of those cereals where I say that, like, even cereals that aren't the best have some of the best moments in them. Because, like, overall, this wouldn't rank up very high for me. But, like I said, the design of Eldrad is gorgeous, and I love it. Her sort of moral gray ambiguity is excellent. And really, like, I feel like this is one of the first times where, like, the doctor's like, let's just wait. Like, let's just talk about it and try diplomacy first. Like, kind of comes back to bite him in the ass, which is interesting. It's not really something we've seen before. And gosh, just the way Sarah Jane exits the show is heartbreaking. And, like, it's specifically tied so much to me to the way that, like, Zoe and Jamie left the show. And that just makes it even sadder. And, like, we've had companion exits before where it's just like, oh, and, you're not on the show anymore. And this,
Dodo.
Yeah, Dodo, Harry Sullivan? I couldn't even remember his name for a minute.
He does get a name drop in this episode because Sarah Jane's like, I'll tell Harry and the brig.
The doctor's like, who? Poor Harry Sullivan. Your character could have been so good. But, like, it's a very nice send-off, and it's... They had gotten to the point where they were so comfortable and so cute, and I am really, really, really sad to see her go. I understand why this is, like, an era that, like, is, like, the default image of Doctor Who in so many people's heads. But I'm interested to see what comes next, and I'm hopeful for Time Lord stuff. Time Lord lore, because I think that stuff's fun. And, yeah, those are my final thoughts.
Okay, I feel like it's a bad cereal, or a mediocre cereal, followed by a good cereal, followed by another mediocre cereal, followed by a great ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the first episode is a little slow, not a lot happens, but, like, all throughout, Sarah Jane and the Doctor are both being great and adorable. But it does get very repetitive and slow. The director is doing amazingly, though. The camera work is amazing. But things don't really start picking up until Eldrad shows up, because she's... We've had a handful of, like, side characters that are just kind of there. The pathologist, the control room guy, and all that. I mean, they have some scenes that are okay, like the control room, Watson, and talking to his family. But, like, Eldrad is, like, super interesting. So that's really good. And then it gets kind of wrapped up really quickly, sloppily a little bit. Like, I don't really care about dude Eldrad, necessarily.
He's just a less interesting character, somehow.
A less interesting actor, too. He's doing it very obviously. He doesn't even seem... the same character. But yeah, it's all whatever. There's some good stuff, there's some bad stuff, there's some great stuff. But then that final scene is just really, really good. And there's a reason for that. I feel like it's written by somebody else. It was not written by the writers of this episode, which was Bob Baker and Dave Martin. Real quick fact about this episode, about the writers. The planet was not called Castria to begin with. It was called Omega. It was outside of a black hole, Omega 4.6, whatever. So it's all about Omega, Omega, Omega. And Robert Holmes is like, we can't do that. We've used Omega in the Three Doctors, which was written by Bob Baker and Dave Martin, the people who wrote this episode.
So they just like the
just
word
Omega? They
just forgot
it. Yeah, they liked the word and forgot it. But yeah, but they did not write this ending. It was written by Robert Holmes and then rewritten by Tom Baker and Elizabeth Sladen.
Aww! That's so cute!
Actually, she was supposed to leave in a different story, a pseudo-historical, that got canceled. And, like, this episode got put in his place or whatever, and she was supposed to be killed off at the end of it.
What?
Yeah. And then she didn't get killed off. Elizabeth Sladen was very happy about this. She didn't want to be killed off or married.
She, like, specifically said that?
Yes. She did not want to be killed or married off. But she also didn't want it to be the main focus of the serial as well, her departure, because she felt it was about the doctor and not so much the companion. But, so that's sort of, I guess that's also sort of why it's relegated to the end and not the whole serial's not about it. But another fun fact, this episode, the original script, I believe it was when this script was actually supposed to be made for the previous season, and they didn't like it, so they, like, kicked it aside and replaced it with, I think, the Seeds of Doom. But then, like, they had that historical where Sarah's gonna get killed off that they didn't like, and they're like, well, let's just do this and rewrite it. The serial we just watched, Hand of Fear. And originally, the Brigadier was going to be in it, and he had moved from UNIT to the Extraterrestrial Xenological Intelligence Task Force, or EXIT.
Oh no, I don't like the sound of this.
To study UFO activities. So we were going to see the ship crashing into Earth, and he was going to go try to stop it. And he basically steered his spaceship into an Omegan kamikaze ship to prevent that ship from crashing into Earth. And the Brigadier would have died. Harry Sullivan was also supposed to be in the episode, but I don't know what his role was. Probably just there.
That's such bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
I'm glad that didn't happen either. So this is like a real mixed bag of emotions. The episode itself was mixed, had some great stuff, but it could have been worse if they killed off Sarah Jane or they killed off the brig.
Could you imagine if they had killed off Sarah Jane, like, and the brig?
Yeah.
Like, in the same episode? I would have rioted.
To be fair, I think in the version of the script
there,
where the
that
brig
was
died,
never both in at the same time.
Yeah. Originally the brig was supposed to die, but Sarah Jane was fine.
Rioted.
The serial has a weird history and significance, and also at the same time, it's kind of just,
it's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked it. And I'm interested to see where we're going.
Yeah.
I have a theory that we're not gonna get a new companion next serial. I think it's all just gonna be Gallifrey stuff. And cool. Then we'll get a companion. That's what I think is going to happen. If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It causes iTunes magic.
It helps us be seen by people. The more iTunes reviews we have, the more iTunes thinks we are a real podcast.
iTunes magic. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. And that's a lot of fun. We make jokes and you get to see us react in real time. And
yeah, especially on something like, you know, like this episode, yeah. Watching companions go and stuff like that. It's more fun to do with a group of people.
And seeing me go, whoa, that alien is hot. That also happened in real time. And then I was like, oh shit, people are watching. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And I also want to give a shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing our theme song.
You're the best.
You can check out his website, swinglish.nu. And tune in next time when we talk about The Deadly Assassin. Our guest for that one will be Vincent E.L. and Ray Friesen. It's going to be a twofer.
Ooh, that's going to be a fun one. I've often said and firmly believe that Ray Friesen and Vincent E.L. are each other's foils.
Do they cancel each other out or balance each other? They balance each other.
It depends on the day. But no, it'll be really fun to have them both on in one episode.
Keep your eyes out for that. And also, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye and I love you.
Eldrad must live! A fear!
Ah! I knew it!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.